having that mindset to be able to grow with your child and with your child's healthcare team, I think is the number one thing that makes somebody a better advocate for their kid.
Welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a show about adoption, foster care, advocacy, and becoming the best caregiver possible. Pull up a chair. We're glad you've joined us. Here are your hosts, Mike and Kristen Berry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast. We are so glad you are here, wherever you're joining us from all around the world. We hope you find insight and hope and the tools to become the best caregiver possible. That's what we're all about at the Honestly Adoption Company. You are tuning in to Season 29, Episode 269, and our guest today is our good friend Maureen Peterson, who is an MD. She is a pediatrician, and she is the parent of a child with a chronic illness. And that's important because Maureen is here to talk about how to communicate your child's needs successfully with medical providers in particular, but also with professionals overall. This is a huge topic for us as caregivers of children with special needs. Now, we may not have children with a chronic illness like Maureen does, but we do have children that have special needs, and we need to know how to best articulate and advocate for their needs with medical providers in particular. And Maureen has a lot of experience with this. Not only is she a parent, but she's also an MD. She is a doctor herself, so she sees both sides of it, and some of her stories and insights and principles that she talks about in this episode are going to inspire you and motivate you and give you insight. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. And speaking of insight, you guys know this, and if you're brand new, let me tell you about this. April 20th and 21st, just a little less than 2 weeks away, we are kicking off our third Insight Virtual Conference 2023. It's completely online. We welcome amazing speakers, amazing thought leaders from all over the world who have incredible hearts for foster and adoptive parents joining us online for 2 days to help you gain insights and strategies to better care for your children. The last 2 years, this conference has been absolutely amazing. And here's the cool part. As an Insight conference attendee, you get access to more than 15 hours of training content. So if you're a foster parent or you're doing a home study, this comes in handy. But if you are a professional, a medical provider, social worker, psychologist, therapist, you can also get over 15 hours of continuing education credit. Insight Virtual Conference is open now for registration. We have lifetime access tickets. We have general access that gives you 6 month access to the replay. And then, of course, we have CE tickets. You can find out all about this at honestlyadoption.com/insight, but you need to hurry because the conference is kicking off in less than 2 weeks. And when we do, ticket prices are going to go up. They're going to be an at-the-door price, so lock in your special price now. Visit honestlyadoption.com/insight. You guys do not want to miss this conference. It's going to be amazing. And what's amazing is this conversation that we have with our friend Maureen. So let's get to it. Here we go with the show. Hey, Maureen, welcome to the Honestly Adoption Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
We are excited to introduce you to our listeners because you have a subject that I think is very close to the hearts of
most of
all of our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
And you have two unique perspectives all wrapped up in one person. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a physician life coach, have been a military physician for the last 29 years. And during that time, practiced general pediatrics along with allergy immunology. But my favorite job is being a mom. I have three amazing kids. My daughter, who's my middle child, was a pediatric cancer survivor. She had neuroblastoma, a type of cancer of the adrenal gland. She also has type 1 diabetes. And so through the journey of being a parent, I now am focused on helping other parents of chronically ill children.
Wow. Wow. And the reason why we love this, we're excited about this. And I know a lot of people in our audience are leaning in, is because what we deal with as foster adoptive parents, most of us are children with major special needs who, and we're often in the provider's offices, pediatrician, a therapist, you name it, trying to get answers, trying to advocate, trying to share what we see with our children. And we feel like we get doors slammed in our face. And this is doors in quotes, not literally. Well, maybe some people may literally.
I guess. Yeah.
But we get that. And so I think this topic is great because basically the premise is, how do you disagree? Like, you have permission to disagree. How do you do that?
I think that this is going to be a really good subject because this comes up all the time when we're talking our parenting journey, this idea that when we first became parents, we thought that every professional knew everything. You know, the pediatrician knows I just need to do what the pediatrician says. I just need to do what the social worker says. I just need to do what the kindergarten teacher says. And then, of course, along the way, you begin to realize that each child is unique, and that as a parent, you are the connector between professionals and your child.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? and that it's okay to disagree. I think that's where I was going with that. You know, I just thought, oh gosh, we just have to do what everybody says because they are the professional.
Yeah.
It took a lot of guts and some maturity. We became parents really young. So it took a lot of guts to look at someone, you know, decades older than me and say, I don't think that that's the right answer.
Yeah.
Right. And so I love that you use the word connector, because I think that is such a valuable way to think of yourself as a parent. Let me be the first physician to tell you this. We are humans, physicians do not know everything. I will never say that I know everything. And, you know, some of that is exactly what you were just saying, that every child is different. But it's also that medicine is constantly changing too. So those two things make it impossible to know everything. Right. And so having a parent be that important connector between the child and the physician, I think is so important. But I think there's so many parents that feel like they're exactly what you were saying at the beginning, that they think the physician knows everything and that they can't disagree because they don't know enough medical knowledge to be able to disagree. So, you know, some of it is without a doubt, a big thing that helps a parent is number one, mindset. So understanding that you are somebody who knows your child well, and that you're willing to learn the medical stuff that you may not already know. And so having that mindset to be able to grow with your child and with your child's healthcare team, I think is the number one thing that makes somebody a better advocate for their kid and allows them the ability to be able to disagree without this feeling like, this physician's going to think poorly upon me and they're not going to want to see me again.
Yeah.
So how do you keep the lines of communication open like that?
That's good. Yeah.
Right. So I think you know, the big thing is when, you know, seeing that maybe you disagree with what a physician's treatment plan is, that the very first thing to do is just be curious, because like I said, you may not know all the medical stuff. Maybe the doctor does know more medical stuff than you, but
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, I'm gonna verify that.
But it's just the reverse that on when you're taking it from who knows the child better? The parent is going to know the child better because they're spending more time with the kid than the physician does. So there needs to be this curiosity on both sides to come to a better understanding of, you know, what could work for each side. And so, you know, I'll give you an example of a time that I didn't do it very well. And I say this example because I also want your audience to know that even me as a physician who teaches families to advocate and disagree didn't do it well. So when my daughter was 12, I got to be the physician who diagnosed her with diabetes. And this happened in a school bathroom. And we then grab her things from the school, head over to the emergency room. And in the emergency room, this emergency room physician says, comes in, you know, takes a history, does a physical exam and says, well, I think she needs an x-ray. And I said, x-ray? Like, what? Why does she need an x-ray? And he said, well, this could be pneumonia. And like, I know that as a pediatrician, like, I didn't say anything about her coughing. I didn't say anything about her having a fever. Right. Like, she doesn't have pneumonia. So the, but in my mind, this was a colleague of mine. And so disagreeing was going to be super uncomfortable. So I just zipped it and let the emergency room physician like charge on with his x-ray. And the, you know, in retrospect, like, her getting an x-ray, was it the end of the world? No, but it in reflecting on it, like, she didn't need it. It wasted time. And I could have approached it with more curiosity and allowed him to hear more about why I was concerned about the x-ray, why I was concerned that it was going to delay the diabetes treatment, et cetera. But the other part that I would say to that story is, I know I didn't do it well in that situation, but I, after beating myself up about it for a little bit of time, I now, like, I have learned from it. And I do a better job of it now. So continuing to like give yourself a little bit of grace if you don't do it well also very important.
Yeah. You know, we can 100% relate on the, we train parents, we equip parents, and then there are days. And I'm just going to leave it at that because everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say there are days, right? I the question that comes to mind as you're talking is I'm putting myself in that scenario, and you as a pediatrician, you know, like the other side of that, like, okay, she doesn't need x-rays, and you know why. But to bring it into scope for people like us, if we were in that situation, how do we disagree and do that? Yes, with curiosity, but I'm just curious, like, what's a good talk track or a script for a parent who would be in that situation that's like, I know for a fact that that is not right. How do I disagree in the moment?
Right.
Yeah. And and so in that moment, I mean, even if like I, as if I was a parent, not a pediatrician, saying to him, like, why do you want a chest x-ray? Can we talk through, like, I don't think she needs an x-ray. That's going to delay treatment. Can you walk me through that? And so it is not easy. And it's not easy for a couple of reasons. One is that exactly what you're saying, Mike, that you are feeling like you don't have the medical knowledge to disagree with.
Right.
But it's also I'm sitting in the emergency room with my daughter who I've just diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I am stressed. And so managing and recognizing emotion is also important. But from a physician side, if you need to be, parents need to be comfortable with their healthcare team for their child. And I, as a physician, will never get upset if a parent wants a second opinion, because I think second opinions can be incredibly valuable. Yeah. And the valuable to me as a physician, because it can increase a parent's trust in me, and for the parent, it can help them learn more medical knowledge because they're hearing the same thing again. So, you know, in that scenario, back to the emergency room and the x-ray, saying as a parent, okay, I understand why you want the x-ray. I don't think that my child needs an x-ray. Is there another doctor that's here that I can speak to just so that we can have a tiebreaker? And so framing it in a non-confrontational way allows emotions to be managed. But it brings knowledge into the conversation so that it's a conversation. It's not somebody dictating a treatment plan.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, once we learned that we could have some of those conversations with our kids' doctors in particular, we started to really make some progress because, you know, we were seeing the doctor for 20 minutes. 15 minutes. And then we were going away for 6 months and thinking, this is just not working, but I don't know what to do next. I know I actually love that most doctors' offices now have a way that you can email something in. That has been a game changer for us with something as simple as my son actually did have pneumonia, but the nurse practitioner was saying, no, I don't know what was happening.
Right.
And I was feeling kind of mad because I'm like, but by the time I got here, I'm telling you something is wrong. Oh, I think it's fine. It's just a cold. And, you know, assuming the best in others is a big part of that communication too. I wanted to kind of wring her neck. I was getting really frustrated. By the time we get in there, my kid is really sick. I'm telling you all the signs and symptoms. Yeah. But we actually went home, kind of stewed about it a little bit. Like, I'm not comfortable with this. And I'm starting to get really nervous about how sick my kid is getting. But the message back was a lot of what you're describing. I want to touch base with you again about the symptoms. This, 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 and this. And this is my big concern. What should I do next?
Yes.
I got another, it's just a cold. But my gut was telling me this is not okay. And we're about to just go to the emergency room anyway, but I'm going to try one more time. And I really think at the end of that, we have worked really well with that nurse practitioner since then. Maybe she had a bad day. I mean, I like that you said medical professionals are people too. Yeah. Maybe she was having a bad day. I mean, maybe she doesn't like me. I don't know. Something else was happening. Because at the end of that, you know, kind of back and forth, my kid really did have pneumonia. and right. really did need medicine and rest and some supervision and didn't need to be hospitalized. But I'm really glad that we pushed. But we did still push in a respectful way, and we got a lot farther with right. that.
Yeah. And, you know, just when you were saying like that, you gave them kind of the list, like, okay, let's go over these symptoms one more time, like this, this, and this. And you said you got back, nope, it's still cold. The follow-up question to that is, okay, I understand you're saying it's a cold. Tell me when I should get more worried. When are yeah. you going to worry that it's something yeah. more than a cold? Because you do, yes, you go to a physician to like get an answer, but really what you're doing when you're going to a physician is figuring out, can I stop worrying about my child, or do yes. I keep worrying about my child? And yeah. and if you approach it like that in a respectful way, that I think that curiosity again comes into play, and people are better able to get the answers and the comfort that they need from seeking medical care.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I think this is a great conversation for a lot of reasons, but back to what you said about when you started off saying we're human, I think that's really valuable, because in the past we have had these discussions with medical professionals, and it tends to circle around like, remember to respect the fact that they have been in school for a long time. And I agree with that. I really do. But I think that bringing in the human aspect of that and the fact that medicine is advancing and changing is a really valuable perspective to have. Absolutely. Total respect for, I think that's part of the reason why we as caregivers struggle, because we're like, you legit spent like a decade more in school than I did, right? And spent way more money than I did in school, right? So there is that side of it. Plus we just, you know, as a culture, we should be respecting medical professionals, because they're brilliant and they are changing the world, right? But, you know, at the same time, you still deal with that closed door where you just feel like, man, this door is being closed in my face. And you alluded to this earlier, you know, with the second opinion, but I'm just wondering, like, when a caregiver like us, when we're sitting in an office that we just feel like this guy or this gal is in and out and they're not really giving us any information, and we even ask a question like, when should I be concerned, which is a great question, and it still gets dismissed, what do we do when that's the challenge we're facing, you know?
Yeah. So I will answer that question, but first I want to comment on a couple of things that you said. I am not brilliant. I think
we disagree. I'm kidding. Yeah. In light of our topic.
Right. I think the respect that people give physicians should be a universal respect that we give anybody. That I practice medicine because that's my lane. I respect my auto mechanic because that is his lane. And right. It doesn't matter that I went to school for a long time. That auto mechanic has learned that craft for just as long as I learned my craft. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think if we all do a better job of respecting each other's lanes and respecting each other's craft, I think this world would be a much better place. Now to answer your question about like, then what do you do if you keep getting dismissed? Well, some of it is you're going to have a very tough time of being a parent to a child with special needs, if you don't feel like you can trust that healthcare team. Mm-hmm. And So you have to figure out a way to build trust, whether that means you have a serious conversation with that particular physician to say, like, look, I'm not feeling like I'm being heard right now. What can we do to get on the same page? Or is it you just break ties and find another healthcare team to work with is another option. But it's really making sure before you cut ties and move on that you have explored your own kind of thoughts into why this isn't working. Because, I mean, the other thing too that's so important is anytime we change circumstances in life, it's really our mindset that needs to change, not the circumstance. So there's something not right with not feeling like you trust that healthcare provider. And so working on it from a mindset standpoint may be something that could be beneficial before trying to change the circumstance.
Yeah, that's good.
So can you give us an example of what it means to change your mindset?
Sure. So I would say, you know, in like changing, being frustrated with a physician in the thoughts that your brain keeps offering is, I'm not being heard. I'm not being heard. I'm not being heard. I've waited an hour for this appointment. They're in and out in 10 minutes. They are not hearing what I'm saying. You don't know for a fact that that physician isn't hearing you. That's your brain that's telling you that it's happening, but it's not a fact. And so that thought of like, I'm not being heard leads to this emotion of frustration that then is like, I'm cutting ties and moving on. So changing the thought of, you know, this physician is having a bad day because maybe there was an urgent patient ahead of me. And I'm not sure that this, because they were having a bad day, that they heard everything I wanted to say. So let me try again. Like that has a very different kind of feeling that goes along with it rather than the first, like, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's a really good point to back to your point about you physicians are humans, right? And being aware of the fact that as a human, you're going to have a bad day, and it may not necessarily be related to a patient or to circumstances in the clinic. It may be that the drive in from to work was not fun, or things at home are not going well. And to keep that in mind, when you walk in with not just a physician, but any professional, a therapist, you know, a social worker, you name it, that there are a lot of factors that play into a person doing their job and being able to function in a way that we would look at like, oh, everything's great, right? That's a really good mindset for us to take in, I think. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, no. And you know, I will say that that's so true. And I'll give you an example from myself that when my daughter had neuroblastoma, she went through surgery, chemo, the whole works. I had taken a leave of absence from work when she was going through that. When I went back to work after she had gotten the all clear from her oncologist, I was seeing patients in clinic and, you know, I'd have like a kid who had an ear infection and another kid who had like a rash. And I could feel myself like getting frustrated, like, oh my goodness, like, don't these people know what I just went through? And it was this incredible resentment when I was initially back taking care of patients. And I tell you that because of what you said, and I mean, what we're talking about with physicians are human, that we all go through these periods of resentment. And I was lucky enough to know that, oh my goodness, like I can see my brain doing this and this needs to change because this mom or dad who is in front of me with their child for a rash is here because they're worried about their kid. They don't need to know that I just went through all of this with my daughter. Mm-hmm. They need me to help them stop worrying. And if that is an easy thing for me to do, then that is a blessing. Yeah. And so the, but it wasn't an overnight thing. And so I am sure that some of my patients, when I initially went back, like felt it that, you know, because I absolutely was resentful for just having gone through this big turmoil in my life. And so keeping that in mind that yes, physicians aren't superhumans. Like we're, we're living life just like everybody else, I think is important when trying to navigate medical issues with your child.
Wow. That is so true. This has been such a great discussion. It's one of those discussions where like, oh my gosh, we need to just like, if this were a 2-hour podcast, we'd be golden, but it's not. Now you, you also work as you're a published author. You also, work as a coach, for caregivers, for parents. Tell us a little bit about that and also how our audience can connect with you.
Sure. The, so I work as a coach with, like you said, with parents of chronically ill kids. My passion is to help them with managing the chaos of life and learning how to really thrive in their own lives. I wrote a book about my experience. It's called Reclaiming Life, A Parent's Guide to Chronically Ill, A Parent's Guide to Caring for Their Chronically Ill Child. The folks can find me on my website, which is Maureen Michelle with one L, MD.com.
That's important. The one L is important.
The one L is important.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Say that one more time because I think I may have interrupted you when you were saying that.
It's MaureenMichelleMD.com.
Awesome. And we will include that link in our show notes for those of you listening that were trying to write that down. You can click right in the show notes and grab that link. Maureen, this has been fun. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate the conversation. You guys are amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Honestly Adoption Podcast, a resource courtesy of the Honestly Adoption Company. To learn more about us, visit www.honestlyadoption.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.